Welcome to Bridgecast, an online internet broadcast hosted at paulthompsonblog.com. In today's broadcast, Paul may give reviews of books he's been reading, interview friends, explore church history, or consider current events, all with the hope to keep the lamp of Scripture on the narrow path. Listen in as Paul considers today's topics.
Hey, welcome to Bridgecast this week. I'm glad you've taken the time to stop in and listen to what's going on this week here at the Bridges weekly podcast. I've been in a little bit of limbo over the last couple of weeks of having my podcast recording studio available to me, and so just today I've been able to get most everything reconnected, and we'll see if I'm going to be able to work out some of the recording glitches that at one time I think I was narrowing down, and then it appeared that we were in the midst of a transition or a move, and we had everything packed up, moved, and then we ended up back here. And so just now getting things back in order and been trying to still keep the podcast alive during those times of having everything boxed up, successful sometimes and not so successful at it at other times. But nonetheless, I am glad to be back and recording on at least a hopeful regular schedule. I think I'm going to adjust my recording day from Monday to Tuesday, and so that will give me, I think, a better preparation day coming into the podcast day than doing the preparation on Monday morning and then trying to get the recording done before the day is up. And do some prep on Monday, then eventually you'll be able to sit down sometime Tuesday evening or Tuesday afternoon and get the recording done. So that's the new plan. We'll see. It's a podcast, and I can do whatever I want to do. So I think I will. This week on the podcast, I will essentially look at a couple of pieces of Scripture in relationship to Scripture memory. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned and made some indications about how much I'm enjoying a new method of memorizing large blocks of Scripture. And so I want to walk through a couple of things in relationship to that, kind of share with you some things that I've found really helpful in the method. I'll have the methodology, a link for this on the webpage related to this particular podcast. Go there, click on that, download the document that's there. My prayer is that you'll find it as helpful and resourceful as I have. And maybe even you have a particular method that you have been employing for some time in Scripture memory, especially not just in memorizing a verse, but memorizing large blocks of Scripture or chapters or books of the Bible. And I would love to hear from you about what kinds of things are helpful for you, what's working out for you, and what you're finding to be resourceful and aiding in that good and needed discipline of the believer. Following into Psalm 119:11, and that thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I want to put this word in my heart. I want it to be something that sits on the very tip of my mind before I speak, before I think, before anything crosses its path, that it filters through this safeguard that Scripture says has been established for my purpose, for my value, that I might not sin against God. So I'm going to look at some Scripture memorization methodology. I also want to examine a hymn this week. I've done this a couple of times before, but this week I want to take this, what I would refer to as one of my favorite hymns, and I mean that in this sense, one that really resonates at the core of my being. So we'll take a look at this hymn in a moment as well. And then I don't have a book review this week, but I do want to go ahead and at least mention a book that I'm reading that I'm nearing the completion of. I am finding it to be a very interesting book, and I put it before you for consideration. I'm confident that as I finish the book that I'm going to hold as strong of an opinion of recommendation for it than I would if I had finished it completely at this point. And so I want to go ahead and mention it for the sake of consideration for the listener, that perhaps you might consider finding this book as well. It's a recent biography on Francis Schaeffer. Now, there's been several biographies that have been written on this faithful brother in the Lord. And just recently, I entered a contest at Crosswalk Crossway Books and won three electronic or e-books. And one of those books I selected for my winning was this newest biography on Francis Schaeffer entitled An Authentic Life. I'll have a link for that book on my blog site. Go there, click on it, find an opportunity to get that book. I highly recommend it. It brings into light a lot of historic things that are happening in America, some things that he sees on some of his tours that he takes to Europe, and eventually into the setting up of his Labrie ministries over in Europe, and then as well the ongoing work and the lingering work of Francis Schaeffer's and his impact on the American church, I think is long-lasting and a blessing from the Lord at that. So perhaps the podcast will be slightly shorter than normal, and so we'll just approach it from this manner, from this way. So let me take the hymn first. The hymn is entitled "I Am Resolved." Let me just read the words, and I'll just read the words to the verses, and then I'll read one time through the chorus, rather than reading the chorus each time at the end of each verse. But I intend to just kind of walk through the flow of the hymn and the impact that it's had on me in recent days in my life, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I certainly want to be reflective of it, grateful to the Lord for its value to the church. What I would say is a hymn that is a preaching hymn, so a hymn that preaches to the church, reflecting of the condition of a heart that longs to be in obedience to the Lord. That's my take on it. So here it is. It's a hymn written, the words written by Palmer Hartso, and the words are penned in this manner. There's five verses, at least five verses that are recorded in the newest version of the Baptist hymnal. And so the first verse is this: "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight." And that first verse, so I think, is when I think of a song like this in a what I'm going to refer to and categorize as a preaching hymn, this really is an individual who's singing these words: "I am resolved. I have come to this position not by haste. I have not come to this position without deep consideration. So I am resolved no longer to linger." Not really, isn't it, Christian? Isn't that a telling position of so many of us from time to time? Lingering, charmed by the world's delight. The delight of the world is continually charming us and attracting us, and so we're charmed by the world's delight. And as a response of that, things that are higher, things that are nobler, these things have a tendency then to allure our sight. They've allured our sight. And so anyway, I find that first verse perhaps for me the most spectacular of the five verses. There's good in each of them, and actually they probably increase in their whole. But that first verse is really really a very helpful thing to reflect on. "I am resolved," verse 2, "to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He, Christ, he is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life." I mean, this is preaching, isn't it? This is one of those hymns that you could just literally open up and just let it do some preaching, and it does. Third verse: "I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day." The song actually, for me, I think, in my mind, starts at a real sober position. a reality of, oh, look at me, I've been charmed by the world's delight, and look what's happened to me. I've been allured away from the things that are higher and nobler. But then I think the song increases and becomes more of an anthem than a reflective position. So this third verse really starts to show that pattern where it's becoming more of an anthem. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith and do what he willeth. He is the living way. This is strong preaching. It's an anthem, the church. Verse 4 increases, I think, just a step more toward an anthem, or what I would call an anthem, a song that identifies the church. So I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me, still I will enter in. You hear how it's strengthening, it's increasing, it's becoming an anthem. First reflective, first even a bit of a sober, lingering heaviness upon it, but then it becomes light, it becomes an anthem, it becomes serious, more serious in a different light than a sober serious. Fifth verse. I am resolved. Who will go with me? So now it's an invitation. Its anthem is saying, we are on the march with the Lord. We have left all things behind. Now who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay. Taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. See, it really has become an anthem by this point in the song. The chorus is peppy. It should be and likely needs to be light as far as the feel of the song goes. How, even though inside of me I want to sing the song in a real sober, solemn kind of a way. Initially, there was a season of my time where I thought, man, this is just the wrong music for this song. But the more I think about it, the more I think, well, obviously, the tune that fits this song is appropriate. I just like for it to start in this real reflective, sober, almost at the verge of being crushed because I've been charmed by the world's delight. But then it becomes such a powerful, powerful anthem. Come, friends, without delay. I've been taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit. We'll walk the heavenly way. I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Oh, it is indeed a favorite of mine. It's one that serves as a reflector from whence I've been, that I don't want to go to again, and a reminder to me of that constant appeal to the Savior, to go to him and to not delay, to hasten unto, to quicken my step toward him. I want to encourage you, to let that hymn serve as a meditation for you, a consideration in your own life. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, things that are higher, things that are nobler. These have allured my sight, but no longer. I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Come, friends, without delay. So that's for me how that tune, in my reflection, in my consideration of it, I want it to do its good work from the intentions of its author. Perhaps it's my interpretation of it anyway. Perhaps yours is slightly different of it, but I certainly like to think upon that hymn, let it do its good sobering, in engaging work in my mind, in my heart, my spirit, my soul, my being. I am resolved no longer to linger. Well, there you have it. I want to also, at this point, then take attention toward scripture memory. Meditation is such an important element for the believer, and one of these elements that for one reason or another, we do not spend near the kind of time or attention given toward meditation as certainly we should. So what I want to do now is just do a little bit of reflecting upon Psalm chapter 1, a psalm that I have been memorizing and actually have now memorized the entire chapter, and think, well, it's only 6 verses long, so it's not necessarily a tremendous feat to do, but it, certainly the method that I've employed and have begun using has certainly proven to me that I can no longer use the excuse that memorization is too hard to do, or that the older I get, memorizing Scripture becomes harder. It probably does, but it doesn't mean it's not possible. And so I'm really encouraged with the discovery of this. I've now been using this method that I'll now speak to you about for about 3 weeks. Renee has been helping me with this, and we're doing this together. I would highly encourage households to memorize together large pieces of Scripture. I've also encouraged Eastside Baptist Church, along with Psalm chapter 1, to memorize Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Now, perhaps at some point, one say, well, we're going to have to get to something that people aren't near as familiar with, because Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 is the Ten Commandments. But I wanted to put before my church and put before myself, and certainly commit myself, to make certain that I have the Ten Commandments memorized as they're given to us in the English language in Exodus chapter 20, and that I have them in the order in which they're recorded, and that I have them word for word in relationship to that. And so I think it's really important. Here's the kind of impact that having memorized Psalm chapter 1 has had, and that is this, that certainly for me over the last couple of weeks of preaching, Psalm chapter 1 has kind of served as this overarching umbrella of direction in the sermon. And I think that that as we walk through the methodology, and which also includes the examination of the text, I think that you'll understand why. So from this vantage point, and here's why I think I want to do this today, because coming out of preaching the last couple of Sundays from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and especially the most recent Sunday of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 24, probably at least to this stage in my ministry, found that passage of Scripture to be the most complicated, difficult, hard Scripture to preach from. And the value of having Psalm chapter 1 on top of me was so liberating and helpful. That Scripture was helping me, that the very words of God was actually helping me, giving me grace to speak and to preach hard Scripture. So I want to take you there from Psalm chapter 1. So here's the methodology, and again, I'll have a link for a much more detailed description of the memorization methodology, and the link for the church that has this in North Carolina. I don't have it in front of me, the church name, so I can't quickly drum it up for you, but I'll have it on the website to link for it, or give credit to the church, give credit to where credit is due. The church that's developed this, the pastor that's developed this methodology, has been extremely helpful for me, and so I bless the Lord for the discovery of this methodology. Let me just walk you through it in this sense, in a simple fashion. It is for this, for Psalm chapter 1, it's 6 verses long, so essentially I set aside an entire week to memorize Psalm chapter 1. And that in the process, the idea then is that I'm going to memorize one verse a day, and it's going to increase and grow as the week progresses. So it works like this. The first step you do is you read the first verse 10 times. So you read it 10 times, and then you cover the page, you turn the computer off or cover the words, and then attempt to say it from memory 10 times, and then you're done. That's it. So it would go like this. Verse number 1 is, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So I would read that 10 times, just as I did. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So by the time I get to the 10th time, I've been meditating, I've been thinking, I've been very intentional to look at each word, I've been intentional to read each word, to not get ahead of myself, not to shortcut the process, to use the method, read it 10 times. I'm done 10 times, now I cover the page, now I say it 10 times. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. So day one, I'm done. I've read it 10 times. I've said it 10 times. Now, whenever I reflect back on that, there were a couple of times I had to uncover the page, make sure that I was getting it right, or wasn't sure if I'd gotten the standing and the sitting and the walking in the right order in the right place, and I wanted to make certain that I did. So I would look to affirm and confirm that I had. I'm done with my exercise for the day. So it's kind of like getting ready to run a race. Getting ready to run a marathon that I want to do again someday, but I can't just get up and go do one. I got to exercise and I got to plan. I got to start small, gradually increase and get more endurance built in, begin to get disciplined and streamlined and trimmed. And so you just got to get real intentional about it. Treat it the same way you would physical exercise. Essentially, you're doing just that. You're exercising your brain. You're putting it to work. You're doing something you haven't been in the practice of doing, so you do it. Day two comes along. The instructions, you'll see them when you read them. There, you're gonna say yesterday's verse, attempt to read it by memory, and then you're gonna read verse number 2 10 times, just like you did the first day. Verse number 2 is, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night." You want to read that 10 times. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law," or "in his law he meditates day and night." I'm going to read it intentionally. I'm going to let my mind, my eyes, my focus, my I'm going to meditate on these words. I'm going to read it 10 separate times. I'm not in a hurry. I'm not trying to just get the exercise done. I'm intentionally doing the exercise. I've read it 10 times, now I'm going to recite it 10 times. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Done. Close up the book. I'm done for the day. Day number 3 comes along. So by Wednesday, I'm up to verse number 3. But before I read verse 3, I attempt to memorize, to say from memory verses 1 and 2. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So I've said from memory. Now if I'm saying it from 3 weeks ago, I didn't say it that seamlessly as I'm saying it now, because I've had several more weeks of meditating on it and considering it, but I've memorized it, I've put it to the mind, I've said the 2 verses, now I'm on to verse number 3. I'm going to read verse number 3 10 times. Now it's a lot longer than the previous verses, so I got to be real careful, make sure that I keep track of how many times I'm reading it. I'm going to read it 10 times. When I'm done reading it 10 times, I'm going to attempt to say it from memory 10 times. "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." So I'm going to read that 10 times, just like that. I'm going to be real intentional, focus, meditating on the words, thinking about the progression of what's happening. This is a tree that's going to be firmly planted. Where is it going to be firmly planted? By streams of water. And what's going to happen there? It's going to yield its fruit in its season. And then this, its leaf is not going to wither. And in whatever it does, he prospers. Whatever he does, he prospers. So I'm done with day number 3. I've said it 10 times. Verse number 3, I've said it. I've read it 10 times, and I've said it 10 times. Now that one, I'll tell you, took a lot more work to get verse number 3 done than the 2 previous ones. But I got it. I did it. I closed the book. I was done. I walked away. Day number 4 comes along. My duty is first to memorize, say from memory, verses 1, 2, and 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. So I've got verses 1, 2, and 3 memorized. They're locked in. I'm thinking on them. I'm meditating on them. I read verse 4 10 times. So that's exactly the pattern goes. You add a new verse every day, and when you add the new verse, you're still bringing back in the verses that you've learned previously. Now, obviously, anytime you get stuck, you just go and get unstuck. If your shoe comes untied while you're out running, you stop and you tie it again. If you run out of water, you stop and you fill it up again. You don't just give up and say, oh, I can't do it, and walk away. You put your mind to it. You stick to it. You desire to want to know, what does this text have to say? What's going to be the value of it for me in the long haul? I'm telling you, it has been spectacularly refreshing for me. So verse number 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like a chaff which the wind drives away. That's it. So I read verse 4 10 times after I've already said from memory verses 1, 2, and 3. And then I'm going to say, after I'm done reading verse 4 10 times, I'm going to say verse 4 10 times from memory, looking as when I have to, getting help when I need to. I'm done for the day. Day 5 comes along. Verse 5 gets added to the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Same thing. I read verse 5 10 times. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. I say it from memory 10 times, just like I have every day prior to this. Close the book. I'm done for the day. Verse number 6. Say all the previous verses from memory. Read it 10 times. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Say it 10 times as I read it, meditate, think upon it, put it into my heart so that I may not sin against God, as Psalm 119 verse 11 says to do. So I aim to do it. So by the end of week 1, I have Psalm chapter 1 memorized. Some of these days I've worked with Renee on a couple of these. We worked separately. But we're testing each other, we're checking with each other. It was helpful, fruitful, and so now I find myself in the midst of preaching what are probably some of the hardest verses I've ever preached in all of my life. They're so heavy. First Corinthians chapter 7 is all about chaste, living chaste lives before the Lord, and singleness. It deals with marriage. It deals with divorce. It deals with remarriage and non-remarriage. It deals with widows. It deals with so many things that touch so closely to nearly everybody in the congregation. And I'm being reminded constantly while we're looking at these complicated, heavy, almost even bringing to the point, if not careful, if the listener is not careful, if the speaker, if the preacher is not careful, anger can be incited from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But all the while, I have Psalm chapter 1 on the front of my mind. It's not something that's not even crossing my mind. It's just there because I've been meditating on it and thinking about it so heavily. And so while we're looking at difficult text, the Lord wants us to delight in him. He wants us to find peace in him. He wants us to find joy in him. And we're looking through these really heavy, hard, difficult, complex. Is it okay for a Christian to get a divorce? And if they do get a divorce, is it all right if a believer gets married to someone else? Well, I'm telling you, you need to go search out the Spirit of the living God on what kind of answer you're going to give to that thing. You certainly can't give an answer based on emotion, because emotion will drive you one way, but truth may drive you another way. But what you need to do is search out what will truth drive you for. So happy or blessedness while we're in the midst of heaviness is sitting on my mind. Mercy and grace from the Lord. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Had I not spent intentional, and I will say difficult, there were a couple of days, my mind was tired, I didn't want to do it, I thought, man, this I'm just going to do this tomorrow, but I stayed with it. Renee and I both fought to do it, so we did it, and the value of it is enormous. So as a result of this, over the last couple of weeks, over the last month, really, it has just been phenomenal to me, spectacular to me, to see how relevant Psalm chapter 1 has been to nearly everything that I think about. It's really a blessing. I put it for you. I commit you to consider it, to try it, to test it, and see what your reaction would be whenever you do this with Psalm chapter 1. Then stretch it out. Take yourself to a familiar piece of Scripture, the Ten Commandments, and from that, exercise your mind to memorize the text in that manner, on purpose, with intentionality. And then see how much the Ten Commandments is going to be on your mind all day long. Well, listen, as I bring things to a close here for this week's podcast, I also want to take a moment and inform you and invite you to consider joining me if you live in southern Idaho on March the 30th. So this will be a date-sensitive announcement. And so sometime in the future, a month from now, even 2 weeks from now, 10 years from now, this will be completely irrelevant as far as the timing of the event. But if you live anywhere in the southern Idaho area, and you would be available on Sunday evening, March the 30th, to join me, myself, pastor of Eastside Baptist Church in Twin Falls. I've also invited Pastor Greg Morton, or Bear Morton, as his church affectionately calls him, Pastor Bear. Bear Morton from Magic Valley Bible Church here in Twin Falls, Idaho, as well as Jeff Norton, the pastor at Northridge Fellowship in Jerome. The three of us are going to gather together. We're going to collaborate together on the College of Southern Idaho in the small theater in the Fine Arts Center at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening, March the 30th. And we're going to tackle Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And again, I think you're going to see, for me, for my value anyway, how Psalm chapter 1 is just going to all of a sudden explode all over the place with this text as well. It's from Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. So if you're anywhere in southern Idaho within driving distance of an hour, or even if you're out of this area and you don't have any plans on Sunday evening, consider joining us at 5 o'clock at the College of Southern Idaho for an examination of Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And this is the first of four. It's our desire, the Lord will allow us, if these days unfold in this manner, every time on the calendar year that a month has a fifth Sunday in it, is our intentions to gather at the College of Southern Idaho for this purpose, to examine a piece of Scripture. And so this will be the first of four that we'll hope to conduct at the College of Southern Idaho throughout the year. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17 says this, "Thus says the Lord, stand..." So this will be Pastor Bear Morton's assigned piece of text, is chapter 6, verse 16, and it says this, the Lord says this, "Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." So that's Pastor Bear's assignment for Sunday, March the 30th at 5 o'clock. He's going to take that text. I trust he's going to look at it, examine it, exposit it to the listener, the gatherer from our churches, from those in the area. Talking about standing by the ways and seeing if and asking for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and there you will find rest for your souls. I'll take the negative part of that verse, but I'll look at that in a moment. Pastor Jeff Norton's assigned text is verse 17, so the very next verse, and his assigned text is part A of the verse, just as Pastor Bear's assignment is part A of verse 16. Jeff Norton's assignment is part A of verse 17. So it says this, "And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet." So that'll be Pastor Jeff's assignment. And my assignment will be to take the two negatives from verse 16, the part B, and 17, part B, which are essentially the same thing, but just worded slightly differently. And that is, so in relationship to verse 16, "Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk in it." It's pretty sobering, isn't it? Here the Lord is saying, if you'll walk in these old ancient ways, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But if you'll ask for the ancient paths, his delight, his pleasure, his rest will be found in the Lord. But his delight, verse 2, Psalm chapter 1, but his delight is in his commandments, and in his commandments he meditates on them day and night. Meditate upon the word of God. Meditate upon his commandments, and you'll find rest for your soul. God comes offering this for you, dear listener. Don't be like these in chapter 6, verse 16, who'll say, "Oh, we will not walk in that way. We'll find rest our own way. We'll find rest by pursuing our emotions, by doing what we think feels good and will bring rest." I'm telling you, will you not turn to the Lord and hear him offering to you rest for your soul? Don't be like these who will be stubborn and stiff-necked and say, "We will not walk in that path." Verse 17, part B, is so much similar to this. Listen to how, again, the positive part of verse 17, "I will set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet." That's the positive. That's the good. That's the warning. Listen to what they have to say. They're taking you to the way that's going to give you rest for your souls. They've looked in the paths, and they've seen where the good way is, and they're telling you to walk in the good way, and you'll find rest for your souls. Don't be like those who are going to say, "No, we're not going to walk in it." But rather, listen. Listen to the sound of the warning. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. But what do the people do? They say, we will not listen to the trumpet. That's so amazing. So we're going to look at that text. Verse 16, verse 17. There's positive there. There's good there. We want to hear the good that's there, and we want to warn about the negative. Don't be like the mainstream of our culture. It's phenomenal, isn't it? We live in a most amazing day. What an amazing day it is to be the church. It's a grand day. It's a beautiful day. It's a good day to be the church. But look around you, church. The path that everyone is on, it's leading quickly to destruction. Just today, the Supreme Court of the United States have been hearing the case. I don't know yet the outcome of the hearing for Hobby Lobby and their desire to not be forced by the government to buy into a system or buy into a part of the system that mandates birth control that is of such that it is actually an abortion. It's not a pre-birth control. It's a birth control that kills conception. And the Supreme Court of the United States is hearing that case now. And so many in our day are saying how foolish that is that they would stand so boldly for life like that. Well, find rest for your souls and walk in the ancient paths. God has always been in favor of life. Find rest for your souls, America. Listen to the trumpet. Listen to the warning. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't walk away. Just yesterday, World Vision, well-respected, well-known, been hard workers in relieving human poverty and human hunger and child hunger and all these amazing things around the world. And World Vision has just come out and has gone the way of the world and has begun to allow employment of same-sex marriages. The Lord says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls, America. Will you say, we will not walk in it? And I set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Oh, dear listener, listen, will you not? Hear quickly what the Spirit says to the churches. So I want to invite you. March 30th, 5 o'clock at the College of Southern Idaho. I'll have a link for some more information there at the website. Go there, get that information. It doesn't cost you a thing to come. We're just going to open up the Word. We're going to let the preachers preach. We're going to let the trumpet sound. We're going to let the examination of Scripture do its ordained good work in the lives of those who are there. I invite you to come. Pastor Bear Morton from Magic Valley Bible Church, Pastor Jeff Norton from Northridge Fellowship, and myself invite you to come join us for an important night in Twin Falls at the College of Southern Idaho, March the 30th, 5 o'clock. I hope to see you there. Listen, thanks for joining me today at the Bridgecast. We'll be back, and it appears as though with getting everything reset up and established, I have my podcast equipment laid out. It's open. It's easily accessible, and I think we're back on track for being a little more consistent than we have been for perhaps the last 4 to 5 weeks. So welcome back. Thanks for joining me today, and may the Lord bless you. And let me encourage you to memorize some Scripture. Let me know how it's going, will you? Will you leave me some comments? Let me know how the Scripture memory is working for you. If you got some other methods that you use, man, I'd love to hear them. I just want to know how to best memorize large blocks of Scripture, and I want to hear from you. So if you'll leave me a comment, let me know how it's working out for you. Give me a call sometime. Drop by my office. Come give me some feedback Sunday morning as we're walking out the doors together. Let me know how Scripture memory is working for you. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Think upon it. For the delight of the Lord, do it, will you? Meditate on it day and night. May the Lord bless you. Thanks for joining me today. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening today. Feel free to write Paul with questions or comments related to today's topics. Helpful links can be found at the blog link related to this broadcast at paulthompsonblog.com.